How well have our sanctions succeeded in getting rid of Fidel Castro, who has happily exploited the sanctions in order to posture as an anti-American martyr oppressed by Yankee wickedness? There is no reason that Americans should not be free to travel and trade with Cuba. When I said so in a Miami Republican debate, the response was not unexpected. Afterward, though, I spoke to a huge rally, with Cuban Americans making up 70% of those in attendance, where everyone cheered the message of freedom. It seems to be a generational issue. Younger people, not emotionally or politically attached to our failed policy, know the Cuban regime's days are numbered, no matter what, and that freedom, as usual, is the most morally attractive position for America to take, starting right now. It is also time to begin bringing American troops home from around the world, an absolute necessity if the budget is ever to be brought under control. We're going broke, and we still have 75,000 troops in Germany? Talk about being frozen in the past. The president should notify our allies of the policy, which no one ever told Americans was to be in effect indefinitely, and then begin a withdrawal. We have not had a foreign policy that is proper to a republic for many, many years, and it is long past time that we reestablished one. If we did, Americans would be safer, our military would be more efficient and effective, and we would make an excellent start toward restoring our international competitiveness. Other countries, after all, are not burdened with the same self-imposed overseas expenditures with which the federal government has weighed down the American economy for so many years. What I am describing is the only realistic option Americans have. That is, it would be their most realistic option if anyone in our government would actually offer it to them. The alternative consists of an ever-growing financial burden, more police state measures, and an endless string of wars pitched to Americans on the basis of now familiar propaganda and financed by more borrowing, higher taxes, and more money printed out of thin air. The collapse of the dollar will not be far behind. The empire game our government has been playing is coming to an end one way or another. This is the fate of all empires. They overextend themselves and then suffer a financial catastrophe, typically involving the destruction of the currency. We are already seeing the pattern emerging in our own case. We can either withdraw gracefully, as I propose, or we can stay in our fantasy world and wait until bankruptcy forces us to scale back our foreign commitments. Again, I know which option I prefer. Will it be difficult? Perhaps, though not nearly as much as some people think. We would finally begin to pull ourselves out from the crushing burden of debt and unfunded obligations that have hung over our economy for far too long. Our country would enjoy far more robust economic performance than we have seen in many decades. Rich and poor alike could once again look to the future with confidence instead of a sense of foreboding. Doing nothing would be far more difficult. In my travels around the country, I have discovered that young people are waking up to reality faster than anyone else, since they realize that the cosmetic changes our political class is calling for will do nothing to prevent the financial catastrophe they are now fearing they will inherit. What decent parents would want to do such a thing to their children? Ours is not a fated existence, for nowhere is our destiny etched in stone. In the final analysis, the last line of defense in support of freedom and the Constitution consists of the people themselves. If the people want to be free, if they want to lift themselves out from underneath a state apparatus that threatens their liberties, squanders their resources on needless wars, destroys the value of their dollar, and spews forth endless propaganda about how indispensable it is and how lost we would all be without it, there is no force that can stop them. If freedom is what we want, it is ours for the taking. Let the revolution begin.
This has been an Hachette audio production of The Revolution, written by Ron Paul and read by Bob Craig. Produced and directed by Dave Giorgio. Production supervised by Michelle McGonigal. The Revolution is also available in print from Grand Central Publishing, a division of Hachette Book Group USA. Text copyright 2008 by Ron Paul. Audio production copyright 2008, Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. Except as permitted under the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, no part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, or stored in a database or retrieval system, without the written permission of the publisher.